Now, would you not agree that that is the picture of a church that God will surely bless? Is that not the people whom God will give His Spirit and fulfill His promises? That if my people would seek my face and call upon my name and humble themselves and pray, that surely is the place of blessing.
Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church here in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. I'm minister of the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, British Columbia, just outside Vancouver. And of course, we invite all to come and worship with us. You can do it in person, or you can join us by our live webcast going to our ltbs.ca website. Anyhow, we'll give you an information at the end of the program. And today again, I want to read that letter to the Prime Minister on the end of life medical assistance. There is great risk and great danger in that. Now today we're turning to John chapter 2 again for our second part of the message on worship that is faithful and true. We're looking at the Lord Jesus as he went into the temple, cleansed it from all the merchandising, and set it aright.
And so God has projected his name upon the very page of the Bible. And God has put his own honor and his own dignity and character right upon the page of this book. And if we be a people that wish to honor the God of heaven, this is our meeting place. This is our place of worship. The Word is the place where we come to commune with God. And so we look for a ministry that elevates God's Word, puts it in its central place, and teaches, speaks, stands upon the clear, powerful statements of God's Word. There is a ministry that is honoring to God. No merchandising, no racketeering, no carnality, no flesh. In fact, this will humble us. If you want a humble heart, if you are interested in a genuine heart, this book will search you and find you and bring you to the feet of Jesus, and it will bring you to the place of surrender that you might be saved by grace. That's why this Word is first and foremost. Secondly, the second thing that ought to be to protect the place of worship is a place of feeding the saints. You remember Peter in John's Gospel, chapter 20, when Peter was restored to the ministry, the Lord said to him, "Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep." So instead of the house of God being a place of merchandise, it's going to be a place of spiritual food. And if you had had an Ezra in the temple court holding forth the Bible, reading the scriptures and giving the sense of that word, you would have said, God will honor this. God will bless this because he's feeding the sheep. Also, Peter was told to feed the lambs. And a church, a place of worship, must have care for the lambs, the little ones. That's why we have a Sunday school. That's why we include the children where we can in the worship services. We want boys and girls to be fed. We want their hearts to be united to the Lord. And we want them to be saved. Then we come to prayer. Now I choose prayer here because there's another incident at the end of the Lord's ministry when he cleanses the temple. And it's a very similar account, a very similar thing. And it shows you that these people fall back right into a repeat of the old tendencies of turning God's house into a house of merchandise. And in that account, and you can read of it in Matthew 21:13, the Lord said that you have turned my Father's house, a house of prayer, into a house of merchandise. Thieves and robbers. It's to be a house of prayer. If at this feast time the priests had been on the temple court and were calling the people to bow down and pray and to call on the name of the Lord, if they were to bring their burdens, confessing their sins, and to bring their desires to honor the true God, you would say God would bless that. God would be delighted with the prayers of his people. But instead of that, they set up their tables for currency change, and they brought their cattle and their sheep, their birds, to turn it into a marketplace, and God was dishonored. But if it was a place of prayer, it would be a place that would honor the Lord. And so true worship in every form must include earnest prayer. Where there is no prayer, there will be no blessing. And here is the test for the church that has been consistent and steady in honoring the Lord in his church. Because when God prepares his people for blessing, he sets them a praying. Did you know that? You read that every time in the history of the Bible. Every time there's a revival, every time there's a renewal, God, first of all, drives his people to their knees to pray. And you'll find it over and over again. Now, there's a great text in 2 Chronicles 7:14. Let's go back to that just for a moment. It's one I'm sure that you will recognize, but it is a great text, and it proves this point. And here is the Lord speaking, and he says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. The first thing is, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. And so you see the point. To honor the Lord's house, it must be a place of prayer. Then also in Acts 1 and verse 8, now we're coming close to the time of Pentecost, the time when God sent a mighty revival. And in Acts 1, verse 8, the promise was, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And they were to tarry in Jerusalem in prayer. And you know the story of the upper room, the 10-day prayer meeting where the believers assembled, and they waited on God until the Holy Spirit fell. They turned that upper room into a house of prayer. And so we get the point. And right through the book of Acts, chapter 4 in particular, you will find again the apostles at prayer. And when they were praying, the house was shaken and the Holy Ghost fell upon them. This is what makes true religion. This is what makes Christianity genuine. When Christians come together to pray. And it's vital. It is so important. Now, there are some churches and they don't have any prayer meetings. And that's seeming strange. They have lots of preaching, lots of other things, but no prayer meetings. Then there are churches that do have prayer meetings, but very few attend. Just a little handful out of the whole congregation. And then there are churches where everybody that comes to the church on a Sunday comes to the prayer meetings of the church. The prayer room is filled. The seats are full. Now, would you not agree that that is the picture of a church that God will surely bless? Is that not the people whom God will give His Spirit and fulfill His promises? That if my people would seek my face and call upon my name and humble themselves and pray, that surely is the place of blessing. Now we have to examine our own ministry and our own church. Are we a praying people? Are we a church that believes in prayer? Is your seat full or empty in the prayer meetings of the church? You have to answer that. And it might answer the reason for the emphasis that we do put upon the need for prayer meetings, the need for God's people to pray and call upon God. The last thing that I would say is to guard the worship of the church is giving to the Lord's house with gladness. Money is still a part of God's work. Can't be avoided. You can't have a property, you can't have a building, you can't have a ministry, you can't do much without the use of money. But is it merchandise or is it free will offerings? The Bible tells us that the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. And our money and how we give it, the motive behind it, will of course greatly determine God's blessing upon it. If we give our money reluctantly, well, we lose the blessing. If we give as little as we can and just have a little token of support, well, can that be honoring? But where there is giving according as the Lord prospers, with joyfulness, 2 Corinthians 9:7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, some churches out of necessity have to turn to other ways of raising funds. And some of those become gimmicks. May not just be the cattle market, the sheep market, and the dove market that you found at the temple, but they turn to all those things that are gimmicks. The Lord's church and the gospel is to be supported by the love gifts of the Lord's people. And that guards the church from turning to merchandising. And as I have said before, follow the money trail and it will tell you much about the ministry. Is the focus on money or is the focus on ministry? The Father's house is to be a house of prayer. The Word of God is to be paramount. And our burden is not to stash money, but to preach the gospel and to tell the good news to the world. Now, I move on here. There's another issue that we need to look at, and that is the reality that Christ will come as judge is based on his resurrection. And we're back now to that sign. The Jews asked, show us a sign. And here in Chapter 2, verse 18, show us a sign. Now, the sign which the Lord gave was rather alarming, at least in their comprehension of it at the time. The Lord said, pull down this temple and I will build it up again in 3 days. And of course, they were all aghast. What do you mean, pull down this temple? You're trying to protect its worship and then you're talking about pulling it down? It took 46 years to build this temple. This is massive. Look at the stones. They're so sturdy and strong. How will we pull it down? And that confusion, misunderstanding, lived on with the Jews and the disciples until after the Lord was risen from the dead. And we're told down here in verse 22, when therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus has said. He wasn't talking about the temple stones. He was talking about his own body. Pull this temple down, and I will raise it up in 3 days. And he did. And he's the living Christ. And because he's alive, he's ascended, and he's coming again. And therefore, it's the foundation of his judgment. If he did not rise victoriously over the grave, he could never come as the judge of the world. But he shall so come. Now look at verse 22, and I want you to notice that they believed in two things. And they are in union, they are united together, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus has said. This is Bible-based, and this is Christ-focused, that he is risen, and praise God, he's coming again. And so his resurrection is the foundation of his coming. He raised himself up, had the power to conquer death, and he has the power to come again and judge this world. Are you ready? Now this incident that's recorded in the Bible and our message today is a great warning to all ministers. Our ministry should be guided and should be taking note of this warning. Don't allow our worship to dilapidate into merchandising. Don't let the sacred be profaned by the secular and the worldly. It applies to elders. They're to be overseers guarding the flock, lest things get out of hand. It applies to the members of the church. You have signed up, joined an institution, a body of people that have professed to be true to Christ, to preach his word, to make his house a house of prayer. As members, you're to see to that. You are to be part of that. You are to promote that with all your strength and all your being. And those who are seeking a church, this is what you must be looking for. Do not fall into these modern day get rich quick scheme churches with prosperity gospels. We are to find a place of worship and service that will make our Father's house a place of true worship. Then those who want to hear the gospel, and maybe you're asking the question, what do I need to do to be saved? Well, number one, your money will not save you. No matter how much you give, no matter what institution you give it to, your money will never save your soul. Your money has the power to destroy your soul, because the love of money is the root of all evil. But your money will never redeem you. The Bible says it very clearly that we are redeemed not by silver and gold, but by the blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. So that's the question now. Are you washed in the blood of Christ? Are you redeemed? If not, what is your worship? Yes, you need a sacrifice, and that sacrifice is Jesus, the Lamb of God. And of course, the Lord Jesus came to save his people, and he will save you when you call upon him. But if not, and you say, I want to live for money, I want to live for the externals, I have no intention of giving my heart to Jesus, the Son of God, do not be surprised if he appears with that whip and that scourge of cords in his hand to judge you. He is not only Savior, the Lamb, but he is the judge of all the earth. Acts 17:31, God has appointed a day when he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained. And that's why we call you to salvation, to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, to be pardoned, redeemed, and thereby escape, withstand the judgment day. Will you put your faith today in the Lord Jesus? Will you renounce the world and your sin and your love of sin and put your faith in this one Savior whom God has appointed? That's the challenge that comes to you today. And if you will take that step, you can be saved and sure of it, and you can be living a true worshiper and bring glory to God. If I could help you, I would ask you to stay in your seat as others leave at the close of the service. And I'll be happy to come and talk to you and help you.
I'm not sure if the general public is fully aware. In fact, I fear they are not, that the Canadian Liberal government is proceeding to introduce further expansion of the MAID program. That's medical aid in dying. And it will be included for extra and other categories of people, including the mentally ill. This week, I felt burdened about the matter, and I decided to write to the Prime Minister. And I want to read to you this open letter to Mr. Trudeau. I write this open letter to you about the grave concern held by multitudes of Canadians over your government's proposal to extend medical assistance in dying to those who are not at the end of life, including the mentally ill. The recent questionnaire to be submitted to the Department of Justice, Canada, by January 27, 2020, has highlighted the rapid pace by which MAID has been introduced and the plans of government to extend it to the most vulnerable in society, even when facing imminent death. Rather than a serious attempt to proceed with caution, seeking the true welfare of all Canadians, the questionnaire appears to be a launching pad for your government to proceed with such legislation, which has already been adopted, sadly, in the province of Quebec. The lack of publicity surrounding this questionnaire, kept within a two-week deadline, and the ambiguity of the questions reveal a lack of interest in thorough consultation with all Canadians. Would you dare make this a policy for re-election? I think not. Rather, it is perceived that this trend to broaden the scope of patients who receive medical assistance in dying is quietly being advanced with an attempt to keep it under the radar of the general public. The fears that arise from this proposed extension to MAID to those not at the end of life are real and substantial. The present use of MAID has already been open to abuse and caused fear to the elderly and division among medical personnel who are called on to provide MAID or to provide referrals. Vulnerable people who are isolated, enduring ill health, though not life-threatening, may be encouraged to choose any legal option, without which they would be of a different mind on a better day. Many people get through periods of suffering to enjoy a good quality of life, but if MAID was their choice, they and their loved ones would never know that potential outcome. Then there is the inevitable fact that over time MAID will become the accepted norm for all categories of people who will feel that they can use their own autonomy to end their life for purely subjective reasons. That is not the Canada we know nor want. Sadly, there are reports from within the medical profession that MAID has already been included as part of palliative care. All clear-thinking people know that these two should be kept completely separate. But with the usual shortage of funding, lack of facilities, shortage of staff, and the increase in the cohort of the aged, MAID and palliative care will all the more become merged into one. This is already happening, to the consternation of all who value the right to life. The whole concept of MAID is often promoted as a personal choice to die peacefully as opposed to die without dignity in intolerable suffering. That is not the case when proper palliative care is administered, and it is not the case for those who trust in the Lord as their Savior. There is hope for the suffering and the dying. Let me quote that what a renowned gospel minister testified of what often happens at the point of death. The power of our holy religion comes in. How calm, how resigned, sometimes how triumphant, how ecstatic is the frame of mind of the departing believer. I never heard one of them regret that he was a Christian. In time, when we sift what they have done and believed, and when they tell no lies for the naked truth comes up before them, I have heard them glory in belonging to Christ and in resting in Him. But I have never heard them regret that they did so. Our religion is not all of the future. It is not a thing of dreams concerning the world to come. It gives us present joy, present strength, present comfort, and we commend it to you most heartily. For this is our duty, to be witnesses for Christ. I ask that you and your government take a long step back from this decision and revert to the well-tested position of a medical system based on the Hippocratic value of doing no harm, and that focuses on healing while minimizing suffering, not hastening death. Yours most respectfully, Reverend Ian Gollaher, Minister of the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, British Columbia. Well, that's my letter to our Prime Minister, and I trust that you will pray that God might turn the tide on this matter, and that this, which is fearful to many, will not become the position across our great nation. May God turn the hearts of many to truth and righteousness in this matter. If you would like to listen to this again or to read a copy of this letter and have a downloadable printable copy, go to our website, ltbs.ca, and there you'll get the information. Just go to the news button and look for Letter to Prime Minister. Thank you for joining with us today. May the Lord encourage your heart.
Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.